2, that 590 show coming at you right now live on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. Matt Berger and Matt Rocchio alongside John Giamatti Rudolph behind the dials. But joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is the WWE Hall of Famer and the legend himself, the one and only Mean Gene Okerlund. Mr. Okerlund, how are you, sir?
Couldn't be better. Matter of fact, I checked with the doctor today. He gave me clearance for another 2 weeks.
Another 2 weeks? So that means that you'll be around long enough to watch Money in the Bank on Sunday.
Absolutely.
Is it?
And in St. Louis.
In St. Louis at Scottrade. You can still get tickets available at Ticketmaster.com. Mean Gene, when you think about when wrestling, back in the early 80s, right? It was just WrestleMania. That was it. That was the only pay-per-view they had. And then they added SummerSlam, and then they added Survivor Series. Now they have one every month. It's pretty amazing, isn't it?
They have two a month, as a matter of fact.
That's true, because they have two brands.
You know, it's incredible how the growth of these super events, I call them that. Of course, WrestleMania has got to be the granddaddy of them all. But, you know, the SummerSlam and all of the... That, by the way, has moved from L.A. to Brooklyn. And that's one event that I truly enjoy. But, you know, I go back to the old days of the Chase Hotel, when things were a little... A Kiel Auditorium.
Absolutely.
When things were a little more modest and in control. Today, with a new day and some of these other factions within the WWE, it gets a little nutty. You know that.
So do you think you enjoyed it more back then? Was a little more simple as opposed to now, how Vince McMahon has kind of built into this giant, huge machine?
You know what? I do. But I'm not convinced, because I mean, he's got a business to run. I enjoyed coming into St. Louis Airport and taking a cab with Andre the Giant and having some cab driver trying to
work him
a little bit and take the long route. And he said, "Hey, boss, we need to go straight to the chase." And those were the good old days.
I'm surprised.
Stan Mushnick had a hell of a foundation with wrestling in St. Louis.
I'm surprised old Andre the Giant didn't say, "Take me to the brewery," because I heard he could really put him away.
No, because,
back in
you
the
know,
day.
At the chase, he'd get a cocktail anyway. So why waste the trans?
What's the most you ever saw Andre the Giant drink in one sitting?
Well, I'll tell you what, in Pittsburgh, and I'm thinking this has got to be circa 1987, a gimmick drink that I would never touch myself, because I'm kind of a V and, you know, some of the quieter things.
Sure.
But Andre had 17 mudslides in one night, and he never made it back to the room. However, thank God for Gorilla Monsoon and a desk clerk. They got him on one of those carts, you know, that they bring
yeah,
the luggage
they
in
the
with.
Luggage on. So
right.
who got him on that cart then? Was that Gorilla Monsoon and Big
and
John Studd?
they got him on it, and they got him into a ground floor room and just kind of dumped him off on the carpet. And I don't think he ever, you know, really slept in bed that night. But the next morning in the restaurant, Gorilla said, "Good morning, Andre. How are you feeling?" He said, "Good, boss. Very good."
It's amazing.
So he made it through.
Wasn't there
came through unscathed.
Isn't there a famous story about Andre the Giant where, I forgot what hotel that he was at, that he passed out in the lobby and they couldn't move him, so they just left him there?
You know what? I'm not familiar with that story, but I would say, knowing Andre, that would be a very distinct possibility.
I know that they're doing a documentary about Andre the Giant that's going to air on HBO. I forgot when it's coming out, but it can't come out soon enough, because I think it's going to be fascinating.
I've been told this is going to be the king of the you know, the sports documentaries. And this guy's got some great history. I mean, between his movie business, his time in WWE and WWF, and his career and his life, it should be a hell of a shakeout.
Are you in the documentary at all?
Well, I've made some comments on it. Whether I'm going to be in it or not, I suspect I will, because somebody's going to catch me getting away with some of the comments. I knew the man very well. I knew him very well. And he was a guy that if he liked you, you were golden. If he didn't like you, you were screwed.
If he didn't like somebody, what would he do? I mean, would he just kind of be like physically? I mean, I'm not saying
he
like be physically intimidating? Or
he gave him the silent treatment.
I got you.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's even worse.
A little more discreet than that. You know, he wouldn't get tough with anybody. He could beat anybody in the world. Got a 500-pound guy. It's 7'3" or 7'4", and he never made a gym, by the way. I should point that out. That was not his forte. But he just had that natural strength.
Yeah. I mean, if you're 7'4" and you're 500 pounds, I mean, you really don't need to really hit the gym. You're just strong just moving that carriage around, just moving that weight around. That's what's going to build up your muscles.
Exactly, Matthew. I think there's a very good analogy. Just getting to the tray.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or to the trough, whatever.
Yeah. Getting to the bar and getting up to the room and getting to the airport. That was his workout. Yeah, absolutely.
And he traveled. God, he traveled. I mean, all over the world.
I can't imagine how hard that had to have been on his body.
All of Europe, U.S., Canada, Mexico.
The great Mean Gene Okerlund joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. The WWE Money in the Bank will be this Sunday evening at Scottrade Center. You can get tickets at Ticketmaster.com. We were talking about Vince McMahon and how wrestling really has become such a family business because Vince inherited from his father, and then his two kids, Shane and Stephanie, they're involved with it. And then you're looking at this card for Money in the Bank. You have Randy Orton, son of Cowboy Orton. He's a big star in it. And then the daughter of Ric Flair, Charlotte Flair, she's in this card too. So it's amazing how it really is a family business now.
Yeah, and the thing I kind of like, and not that I had a predilection for this, but I like to see the Divas in action.
Well, yeah, of course.
And especially in a card like this, and you get kind of tag team action. You know, it kind of excites me. And not that Ric Flair's daughter doesn't, but I mean, my God, she has accomplished the incredible in just 3.5 years. So that's great. The other thing is how many guys are going to be involved in the Money in the Bank. You've got an 8-man tag, a 6-man tag, singles match. Your hometowner, Randy Orton,
yes,
is going to be heavily involved in this thing, and I think all eyes are going to be on it. It is going to be incredible.
And a lot of people are excited about that pay-per-view as well. And it seems like every time Randy Orton does come to St. Louis, he puts on a little bit more. He gives that performance a little more of an extra oomph because he knows he's in his hometown.
Well, Matt, you know, I've got to believe he is a hometowner. And I think hometowners really perform much better in front of their hometown audience. And I think Randy Orton is a prime example of that. And I expect the most out of him on Sunday night.
Who was your all-time favorite wrestler just to work with? That you enjoyed watching him in the ring, you enjoyed working with him, during the on-camera stuff, outside the ring, and then just part of the tour, like when you're traveling with him, you just enjoyed his company. Who was your favorite?
Well, there are too many factors involved in that. That's a trick question.
That's what we do in the mainstream media now. We do gotcha questions.
Yeah, I know. You do trick questions. But I would say I've got to take it by era. Because, Matt, back in the old days, I mean, I've been in the business for a while. I'm 46 years in the business. But, I mean, guys like Lou Thesz ruled St. Louis and ruled the NWA. And all of that's kind of changed. Now you've got kind of a potpourri of talent. But, I mean, I can go back to Hulk Hogan, who I had dinner with on Tuesday night before we popped up to New York last week. And I just think the world of him. And here's a guy that's hurting a little bit now in terms of, you know, the knees hurt, the hips hurt.
Sure.
But he certainly has got the inspiration and the great memories that he had of that run that he had in the WWE, AWA, and an assorted, I don't want to say this WCW because that was kind of an abortion.
Yeah.
I guess, could I say that on the air?
You can say that on the air, Mean
okay,
Gene.
Yeah.
Mean Gene, you're a legend. Other than the five dirty words, but I mean, you can say whatever you want.
Right. He turned that NWO upside down. Hall and Nash were one thing, but for Hulk Hogan to turn his back on kids and fans and everything.
One of the great heel turns of all time.
Yeah, it was.
I'm reading this here on the internet that you were the best man at the Iron Sheik's wedding. Is that true?
Well, that is true. I kind of got recruited into that deal because he married a Swedish girl from Minneapolis. They had, I believe, six daughters.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. I mean, incredible. And she was Swedish or Scandinavian of some kind. They had it in a Lutheran church. So, Matt, you know, that's got to make sense.
Absolutely. The Iron Sheik, why not? He was part of the Iranian
right.
Guard.
He was not a Lutheran by any stretch of the imagination. But what happened, they had this life where they raised these six kids, and, of course, the Iron Sheik, kind of a wild man. They got divorced, and you know what? They got remarried.
No kidding.
They're back together again.
So are they still married now?
They are.
Okay, were you the best man the second time around?
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I actually was with the lawyers in the back room and said, don't let this happen.
And you said there probably wasn't a wet eye in the house, right?
Well, there wasn't a dry eye, no.
Yeah. Do you remember that?
I get the message on that. But you know what? The Sheik certainly contributed a lot to the entertainment aspect of professional wrestling through the years. Character and, you know, forget the language. I mean, he was an entertainer.
The first time, though, that you were in this wedding or you witnessed his wedding and you were the best man, do you remember what you said in the best man speech?
I didn't have a clue. I had stopped in a cocktail lounge about a mile and a half away from the church and kind of loaded up before we got there. So what would you expect from me?
I would expect nothing but pure poetry, especially Mean Gene. What is your cocktail of choice, Mean Gene? What do you go with? Are you a Scotch on the Rocks guy?
I have a number of different ones, but basically a little Chardonnay, Cabernet. I like a good wine, and so does Hulk Hogan. He pours down those Opus 1s at $800 a bottle like they're going out of style. Which is a little tough on my current budget,
sure,
to afford. But not that I wouldn't enjoy a little bit of that.
WWE.
So, I like all of the wines, and V is kind of my go-to drink.
WWE Hall of Famer Mean Gene Okerlund on the Bellman Automotive phone line.
Why is it we're talking about booze on your show?
Every time. This is a drinking show. Now we're going to start talking about women. This is another one of your vices. I know you've been married for many years, but I mean, how did you keep the women? I know women are always
wonderful years.
53 amazing years, but how did you keep the women like who are always clawing at you? How did you keep them away, Mean Gene? I mean, I know you're a Lothario.
Well, you know what? I didn't stop anybody. I don't want to say that, but I don't know if I ever really encouraged it.
Oh, come on.
I did have an appreciation for the flesh, like a lot of people do. And Matt, I know about your background, so Matt, so I mean, the other way, a guy is covering up, right?
That's absolutely. You know about that. Yeah. Mean Gene, you are one of the best, my friend. What's next on the agenda? Where are you going to be next?
I'm leaving for early. I got a 6 a.m. flight. I'm going up to Joliet, Illinois to enjoy a little time with some baseball guys.
Okay.
That, by the way, is the hometown now of Mongo, Steve Mongo McMichael from the 86 Chicago Bears.
Oh, wow.
So I'll get to see him and a lot of other friends up there. But I'm doing this every week. Last week I was in New York. The week before, Niagara Falls, Ontario. And the week before that, I believe it was Parts Unknown.
Mean Gene, have a great trip. And the next time you're in St. Louis, please let me know. I'd love to get together.
You going to pick up the tab?
I'll pick up the tab, buddy.
Thank you, my friend.
You're welcome. Thank you, sir. Have a great night.
Thank you.
That is the great Mean Gene Okerlund, WWE Hall of Famer. You can follow him on Twitter at the Gene Okerlund. WWE Money in the Bank is going to be this Sunday. In fact, KFNS is hosting a live version of the number one professional wrestling podcast in the world, Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard, the former right-hand man to WWE CEO Vince McMahon. The show will take place at South Broadway Athletic Club from 2 to 4 p.m. before WWE's Money in the Bank at Scottrade Center on June 18th. VIP and general admission tickets are available at notarib.com. Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Howard Balzer from the NFL Channel on Sirius XM. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.